In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you are not here for Matins, and so you don't realize that on Sunday mornings, every Sunday, we have a reading from the Holy Gospels, and all of these readings are one of the 11 times that the Gospel mentions the resurrection, the various Gospels. We read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one at a time. But they mention the accounts of Jesus' resurrection. And I want to begin today by sharing with you the Gospel that we read this morning, where we hear about Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb early while it was still dark, and the stone had been rolled away, and she sees that Jesus wasn't there. And she sends out and tells this to the disciples, and so Peter and John come running to the tomb. It says here from John's Gospel that they both ran, but the other disciples, speaking about John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He, speaking about Simon Peter, he saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, John, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scriptures, that Jesus must rise from the dead. And I wanted to share that reading with you today because of an important aspect of that reading. It's the only time we hear about this, that John recounts it, and it is this napkin that had been on Jesus' head. It was a turban, sometimes, that it's called, that was rolled up in a place by itself. And what that means, you see, what that means is we have to understand, where do we usually think about using a napkin? It is at mealtime. And when someone gets up during a meal, this was especially true in ancient societies, which perhaps were more formal at their meals than we Americans often are today with our microwave dinners and so forth. You know, we eat in front of the TV sometimes, unfortunately, and not as families. But in ancient societies, the mealtime was a big deal. And if someone had to get up to wash themselves, to use the restroom, whatever it may be, you would roll up your napkin and you would set it nicely. And you should still do that today, right? If you're at a nice dinner or if you're at a restaurant, you don't just throw your napkin over the table in some haphazard manner that looks bad. You roll it up. It symbolizes you're coming back. When you're finished, it's fine. You can leave it a mess, right? Then the waiter knows, hey, they're finished. It's time to come pick up their stuff. So the reason that John points this out about this napkin being rolled up and in a place by itself is to indicate that Jesus' work was not yet finished. That he didn't just rise from the dead and everything's over, his work is done. No, his work is not finished. Well, what is his work? We hear about that in today's Gospel reading taken from St. Matthew, where we hear about the healing of the two blind men and this man who was the so-called dumb demoniac. And I'll get to that in a second. But before that, I want to step back. Because if you read right before this passage, which is the healing of a ruler of the synagogue whose daughter had been ill for many years, who asked Jesus to come, actually didn't ask Jesus to come to his house, asked him just to say the word, and Jesus decided to go to his house and heal her. And on the way, he heals a woman with the flow of blood. Then we hear the blind men, then we hear the dumb demoniac. What is going on in these stories? What we're hearing is that Jesus is the healer of all. And in the New Testament, we often see people divided up into three different categories. We tend to think about Jew and Gentile, and that is an important distinction in the New Testament and throughout all of Scripture. But what we see in the New Testament is people divided really what I would call into three classes of people. First of all, you have the Jewish leadership together with the pious Jews, the people who were considered to be ritually pure, the people who were allowed in polite Jewish society, who would be allowed to go and make their offering at the temple, or who were allowed to enter into their synagogues. So that's the first group of people. The second group of people are those who were Jews by birth, but they were ritually unclean. And so therefore they were rejected from the temple, from the synagogues, from sitting at the table with the other Jews. That's the second class. And then the third class is, of course, the Gentiles, those people who were not part of God's special covenant. And so, what we see in this reading today and the one that precedes it is we see, first of all, Jesus is being petitioned by this ruler of the synagogue, someone from that first class of people, someone from the good Jewish society, someone who was a pious, religious Jew and was ritually clean, was allowed, of course, to be part of the temple, part of the synagogue community. And he comes to Jesus. Why? Because he puts his faith in him. He puts his trust in Jesus to heal his daughter. In fact, he says, don't even come to my house. Just say the word and it's enough. I know you're a busy man. I know you've got a lot of things to do. I trust you. Just say the word. Jesus says, no, I'm going to go to your house. And on his way, he meets this woman with the flow of blood. Well, what's the issue with the flow of blood? The issue with the flow of blood, she's had it for 12 years that it won't stop. She's unclean. She can't go to the synagogue. She's not allowed into the temple because she's ritually impure. But Jesus still heals her and shows mercy on her. Why? Because she had such faith. She just came and wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She just wanted to touch him. In this story today that we heard about the blind men and the dumb demoniac, again we have the blind men, and the blind in the New Testament often represent the Jews. Why are they considered to be blind? Because they have the law, they hear the law read to them in the temple, but they can't figure out which way to go. They're not walking in the correct path. And then finally you have, representing the Gentiles, what is referred to as this dumb demoniac. What does it mean when someone is dumb in Scripture? What it means is that they can't hear, and often that they can't speak. And so it represents the Gentiles. Why? Because they don't even hear the law. The Gentiles don't go to the temple. They don't go to the synagogues. They never hear about God's law until, of course, Jesus and his disciples bring it to them. And we see that all of these people are healed by Jesus by putting their trust, by having faith in him. So this is the work that Jesus continues. Again, it's why the napkin is laid there, rolled up. It's because Jesus still has work to do. But how does Jesus do that work? I'm glad you asked me. He does that work, we heard about it 7 weeks ago on Pentecost. He does it by sending out his Holy Spirit upon us. And as we heard, when he sent his Holy Spirit upon us, he did that, why? To remind us of the words that he had spoken. To bring them to our remembrance, not so that we would just remember them in our heads, but so that we would do those words, that we would live by those words. As we heard today in the epistle reading, an athlete is only crowned if they compete according to the rules. You know, this is the big issue, right, in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You use steroids. Well, for one time it wasn't against the rules, so people are arguing, should they be allowed in, even if they didn't? And there's people that say, well, before this time it wasn't allowed and so forth. But the point is, you have to compete according to the rules to be crowned. And the same it is with us, brothers and sisters. If we want to be crowned, we have to compete according to the rules that Jesus gave us, which is reconciling all people with himself, helping reconcile the people who are of good society, the people who are members of our church who might still be self-righteous. It's our job to help them come and have put their trust and their faith in Jesus. the people who are outcasts, the people who are on the fringes of our churches. It's our responsibility to help reconcile them to God. And the people that are outside, the people who have never heard, it's our responsibility to help reconcile them. And unfortunately, we often, Christians today, we compete in a way that is against the rules. And instead of trying to help people reconcile, we look out and we judge them. We look down our noses at them. We feel that we're better than them and that we need to tell them exactly what they're doing wrong. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is not the way that Jesus did. He first healed them. He first helped to reconcile them. And in doing so, then he started teaching them along the way. He didn't say, you have to become perfect. Go figure out how to stop your flow of blood and then you can come. He didn't tell the dumb demoniac to go be healed somewhere else and then you're welcome to be part of my community. He brought him in and he heals them. And so it should be for us. Because as we hear in Scripture, we are not the judge. Only God is the judge. And as St. Paul says, who are you to judge another man's servant? He stands or falls before his own master. So brothers and sisters, my hope today is that we would finish this work that Jesus left uncompleted for us to do on his behalf. That we would be a community that helps people to reconcile. That we would not be one of these communities that's known as looking down our noses or judging other people and putting up barriers for them. But that we would welcome them and that in that process they would be like all of us. Those of us rulers of the synagogue, so to speak, like we priests and bishops and so forth, we have to be healed as well. You have to be healed. So does everyone else. We are all part of one community that stands before God in judgment from Him, and it's whether or not we put our trust and our faith in Him that we will be judged, and if we try to do His work of reconciling others to Him. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship together with His Father and Spirit unto the ages of ages. Amen.